A reading from the Acts of the Apostles. When the time for Pentecost was fulfilled, they were all in one place together. And suddenly, there came from the sky a noise like a strong driving wind, and it filled the entire house in which they were. Then there appeared to them tongues as a fire, which parted and came to rest on each one of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in different tongues, and the Spirit enabled them to proclaim. Now there were devout Jews from every nation under heaven staying in Jerusalem. At this sound, they gathered in a large crowd, but they were confused because each one heard them speaking in his own language. They were astounded, and in amazement, they asked, "Are not all these people who are speaking Galileans? Then how does each of us hear them in his native language? We are Parthians, Medes, Elamites, inhabitants of Mesopotamia, Judah, and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and the districts of Libya near Cyrene, as well as all travelers from Rome. But Jews and converts to Judaism, Cretans and Arabs, yet we hear them speaking in our own tongues of mighty acts of God." The word of the Lord.
Lord, send out your Spirit and renew the face of the earth.
Lord, send out your Spirit and renew the face of the earth.
Bless the Lord, O my soul. O Lord, my God, you are great indeed. How manifold are your works, O Lord. The earth is full of your creatures.
Lord, send out your Spirit and renew the face of the earth.
If you take away their breath, they perish and return to their dust. When you send forth your Spirit, they are created, and you renew the face of the earth.
Lord, send out your Spirit and renew the face of the earth.
May the glory of the Lord endure forever. May the Lord be glad in his works. Pleasing to him be my theme. I will be glad in the Lord.
Lord, send out your Spirit and renew the face of the earth.
A reading from the first letter of St. Paul to the Corinthians. Brothers and sisters, no one can say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. There are different kinds of spiritual gifts, but the same Spirit. There are different forms of service, but the same Lord. There are different workings, but the same God, who produces all of them in everyone. To each individual, by the manifestation of the Spirit, is given for some benefit. As a body is one, though it is many parts, and all the parts of the body, though many, are one body, so also Christ. For in one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, slaves or free persons, and we were all given to drink of one Spirit. The word of the Lord.
Oh,
Alleluia, 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 Alleluia.
Come, Holy Spirit, fill the hearts of your faithful and kindle in them the fire of your love.
Alleluia, 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 Alleluia.
The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John. On the evening of that first day of the week, when the doors were locked where the disciples were for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood in their midst and said to them, "Peace be with you." When he had said this, he showed them his hands and his side. The disciples rejoiced when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I send you." And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. Whose sins you forgive are forgiven them, and whose sins you retain are retained." The Gospel of the Lord. When the time for Pentecost was fulfilled, they were all in one place together. And suddenly, there came from the sky a noise like a strong driving wind, and it filled the entire house in which they were. Similar to what we experienced last week, commemorating the solemnity of the ascension of the Lord Jesus back into heaven, which was a bodily event, the humanity which Jesus assumed enters into the reality of the Holy Trinity, into heaven itself. The gospel doesn't present us with a description of that event. It's because none of the gospels records the event of the ascension. It's in the Acts of the Apostles, which is attributed to the authorship of Luke, the evangelist. And so it is today, the event of Pentecost, what we hear described in the book of the Acts of the Apostles, is not found in any of the Gospels. And yet, we see that the church has chosen the Gospel of St. John relative to what we hear in relationship to the event of the resurrection, which was the celebration commemorating the reunification of the body of Jesus with his soul, Easter. And it's in this evening hour that Jesus comes into the upper room of Jerusalem, and we are told that as he enters the room, he speaks peace to them, shalom, peace be with you, showing them his hands, showing them his wounds. They rejoiced, and once again saying, "Peace be with them," he breathed on them, saying, "Receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." It's that detail that is highlighted in the Gospel of St. John that St. Cyril of Jerusalem, who one of the church fathers who has written beautiful catecheses on the sacramental life of the church and other mysteries of the faith, he says that this particular gospel presents us with an anticipation of the full outpouring of the Holy Spirit, which we celebrate at Pentecost today. For the first century Jews, the feast of Pentecost would have been for them a commemoration of their deliverance from the place of slavery over 400 years in Egypt. And it was on the 50th day that they were all amassed together at the foot of Mount Sinai, where Moses received the law of God. And the same similar phenomena took place as they were there. There was the earth quaked, and there was the cloud of the presence, the Shekinah, and fire was also visible to their eyes. And so we can then begin to see how the Lord wants us to see the transformation and the elevation of the first law relative to the new and eternal covenant, and the law that is no longer relegated to stone tablets, but now impressed upon our hearts as we hear the Holy Spirit taking the form of fiery tongues that penetrated to the heart of the disciples, enabling them to now soberly interpret and understand all that has been revealed by God through the prophets, throughout the ages, through the law. And we see this, and unfortunately, we don't have the full presentation of the writing from Acts that is given to us today, because we would go on to hear how St. Peter spoke the very first sermon. And in that presentation of his homily, his sermon, he had the realization of 3,000 converts had come into the belief of Jesus as the Messiah, entering into this new covenant. We see the diversity of the nations are there. These are Jews that have gone to all these different areas, but then they're also converts to Judaism, confirming also the universality of God's plan of salvation for the whole world. Jesus declaring, "You shall go forth to all the nations, baptizing in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to obey all that I have commanded you." But what is it that the Lord wants us to bear in mind today? As we may find ourselves somewhat still in a posture of fear, of uncertainty, of perplexity, whatever might be happening for us and with us right now, in the same way the Lord comes to us as he does in every Eucharist. And he speaks his peace to us. But with that peace, he breathed on us. Remember St. Paul, speaking of the first Adam who lacked trust. Our first parents lacked trust in God's word, and as a result, they fell out of favor. But still, God made provisions for that fall, for that act of disobedience, if you will. And so what? In the fullness of time, he sends his only son. St. Paul refers to Jesus as the new Adam. He says the first Adam was of the earth, but the new Adam, the second Adam, if you will, is from heaven. And this Adam is the life-giving spirit. He gives the life-giving spirit. So we hear in the responsorial psalm, "Lord, send out your spirit and renew the face of the earth." Listen and pay attention to the details that are highlighted. The strong driving wind filling the place in which they all were. The tongues of fire. We can remember all of these images associated with the Holy Spirit from the very beginning of creation. The Spirit of God hovered over the waters, causing them to begin to teem with life. And so we know for certain that this pouring forth of the Spirit is in itself not only a fulfillment of all of the Easter mysteries. We could say with great certainty, this is the culmination of the entire salvation history. God establishing a new and eternal covenant that's rooted in love, an exchange of persons whole and entire. And with this exchange, with this presentation of the gift of the Holy Spirit, we now have the experience of God in himself and God in us. The manifold gifts of the Spirit that we hear articulated in the second reading, St. Paul talking about how one Lord, and yet that one Lord is the source of all of the blessings, all of the graces, all of the gifts. St. Gregory the Great, commenting on the gift of the Holy Spirit, used and focused on the image of water. And he says, think about how the heavens precipitate the earth with the rains. And as they saturate the earth, look at the diversity of the vegetation that springs forth. Roses, dandelions, lilacs. Whatever we've planted, you know, it's just this variety of things, yet it's the one same element of water, and yet it produces such a diverse array of life emanating from the earth, which is established to receive that seed. And so it is for us. When we were baptized, we were established at that time, at baptism, we were established now with the capacity to receive the fullness of this gift. We received it in its early form as we were baptized, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. The life of the Spirit was in us, but we have been confirmed in this, most of us, and those of us who have not been confirmed, you certainly want to take steps to be confirmed, because it's with that confirmation, it's with that pouring forth of the Spirit that we are able to speak in the language of love, which does what? It undoes the sin of Babel. Remember in Babel, they were establishing this tower and they were doing this as a way of making a name for themselves. It was rooted in pride and arrogance. And we're told that God confused their language because they obviously were not in the right way going about doing this like that. But yet we are shown in this Feast of Pentecost, 50 days removed from the Passover of Jesus, his Passover, his passion, and his death, and his resurrection, now we see this outpouring of the Spirit enabling the disciples to speak of the mighty works of God, Galileans, and yet all of the known world at that time was able to hear and understand this word. And they were astonished at this, astounded. And what makes it possible is this gift of love. And so as we see ourselves here today, let us bear in mind that there is a unity that is established by the Spirit, and yet the diversity of the body of Christ is not to be looked upon as a curse by no means, or something that is that's gone awry. No, that in itself is the gift. Because when you look at the diversity of the body of Christ, we see that God intends for each member of the human family to be a complement one to another, to make up for what is lacking. One person is given this gift to speak in various languages. Another person has the ability to bring healing with their very presence, not just with the fact that they may be a doctor or someone who's got that type of a gift. And of course, we have those who are teachers who can take something that's so complex and bring it right down to earth, where it's accessible and understandable for one and for all. So as we approach Jesus today, as we witness in this Holy Mass the movement of the Holy Spirit, realizing the miracle of the transubstantiation of the bread and the wine into the very reality of the third person of the Holy Trinity, and that's important to realize, the Holy Spirit is God, the third person of the Holy Trinity, who manifests this transformation, who realizes this, as we come up and receive, we can say to the Lord, here I am. I come to do your will. Let me receive your gift anew. Help me to overcome my fears. Help me to experience your reconciliation. You know, it's significant, and I was thinking about this, and having been to the Holy Land twice in my life, and for those of you who have had the chance, and when you went to visit the upper room of Jerusalem, which is where they were, do you realize that four of the seven sacraments were instituted in that room? Four of the seven sacraments of the church. The first sacrament to be established was first Holy Communion, the Last Supper instituted the Eucharist, and the second sacrament, Holy Orders. The 12 apostles were ordained as priests that night. The third sacrament we are presented with, and it's in today's gospel, is the sacrament of reconciliation, of confession. Whose sins you forgive or forgiven, whose sins you retained or retain. And the fourth sacrament is the gift of confirmation. Again, the Holy Spirit being given at that time and fully realized on this great feast of Pentecost. Let us lay hold of this gracious gift of God, and let us allow ourselves to become what we have received. The The Holy Spirit is the one who facilitates this movement of grace, the sanctifier, the transformation of grace in our lives is what God wants. And we must, if we want this, we have to be willing to cooperate with this gift. As he reminds us of the things that Jesus taught us and guides us in this truth as we go forward. We are entrusted with the mission of bringing the love of God to our world as we know it. And God, for his part, will renew the face of the earth. God love you.